We're discussing the direction of the Republican Party in a group threatening to break ranks from the GOP. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It comes in the wake of the Capitol insurrection in January and the ouster of Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney from House leadership. It's a statement of principles, and more than 150 Republicans, former Republicans and independents have signed onto this letter headlined "A Call for American Renewal." Do you think there needs to be a new conservative political party? Do you feel the Republican Party is united, or has it lost its way? 800-642-1234. Reid Ribble served three terms in the House representing northeastern Wisconsin. He retired from Congress in 2016, is now CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association. Former Congressman Reid Ribble, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Kate. It's good to be with you.
Good morning. Let's start with your reaction to the Capitol attack, the riot on January 6th.
Well, I mean, I remember just sitting there watching the news, almost in a state of shock about it. Listen, I get the idea about peaceful protest, about citizens redressing grievances with their government. But there was never there's never a call for what happened there. And I also recognize that of that crowd of several thousand, there were probably 400 or 500, you know, strong antagonists that went in there and did the damage, you know, $30 million of construction damage that the taxpayers didn't have to pay for. 140 Capitol Police officers were injured during the event. And it was just a disgusting moment in American history, and the first time in U.S. history that there was not a peaceful transfer of power in this country. It's embarrassing. It's a global embarrassment.
Members of the party have been downplaying the attack. We saw Senator Ron Johnson saying he wasn't worried about the supporters of President Trump who stormed the Capitol, would have been if they had been Black Lives Matter protesters. And then at a House Oversight Committee hearing Wednesday, Representative Andrew Clyde of Georgia said calling it an insurrection was a bold-faced lie. Is this a fractured party?
Sure. I mean, it's fractured, and it has been fractured, but all political parties have got fractures and different wings of those parties. Each party tries to have as large of a tent as they can. And so internal debates inside political parties are really nothing new. You see the fracture in the Democrat side as well, with Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on one side, the very liberal wing of the party. Then you've got centrists like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema in the middle. And they have to find whatever common ground they can within that party to create a winning coalition for whatever they're trying to do, the same way Republicans have to do the same thing.
But how has President Trump changed the Republican Party?
Well, I mean, significantly, in that President Trump was never a Republican. President Trump's a populist, and it's a completely different political ideology. And so he brought in populism, and as a result of that, he had a big enough base with 16 opponents in a primary that divided the traditional Republican vote. Those other 15 candidates, that populist wing of the party was large enough for him to win the White House. And in some cases, he governed like a traditional conservative. In other cases, he governed like a populist. In other cases, he governed like a socialist, which would be typical of someone with a populist leaning.
But many supporters have continued to cast doubt on the 2020 election, despite no evidence that the election was rigged in any way. Why are Republicans doing this?
I'm not certain. You know, President Trump, from the beginning of the campaign for re-election, but really near the end of the campaign, starting in July and August, when I think the data started swinging against him winning, he began to start talking about the election being rigged, that the only way he could lose is if the election was rigged. And yet 40-plus lawsuits later, judges that were appointed by the president himself, they had a pretty abysmal record, I think only winning one time of all those cases. And Republican secretaries of state around the country, including in Georgia and in Arizona, are saying this was a safe, fair, free election. And no matter what you talk about, no matter what you say, no matter how much you lie about it, these elections were conducted in a fair manner. And so you have to start by saying, we're going to begin right now by correcting the record and starting speaking truth to the American people, including to ourselves when we don't want to hear it.
We're talking with Republican Reid Ribble, who represented northeastern Wisconsin in Congress from 2011 to 2017. We're discussing a letter published last week. It's called A Call for American Renewal. Do you think the Republican Party needs to redefine itself? What should its priorities be? Are you a lifelong Republican? What do you think of your party's values right now? 800-642-1234. Tomas is joining us from Madison. Hi, Tomas.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a comment. My comment is that given the admission by Alan Greenspan that markets cannot regulate themselves and the utter failure to address the ongoing climate crisis, the Republican Party's ideological foundation has lost all legitimacy, and the Republican Party should go the way of the dodo.
Reid Ribble, what would you say there?
Well, I mean, we can get into a debate about economic policy and economic theory. Certainly the left's push toward modern monetary theory is probably as far off base as maybe the idea that capitalism unfettered is a good policy as well. I mean, I've never been anti-regulation. There does need to be restraints on corporate America. I mean, that's why we have antitrust laws and so forth, and Republicans typically support those. And so when it comes to climate change, there's been a significant shift in the Republican Party where there's a lot of activity going on with climate change. And, for example, in my own home, I'm fully off-grid. I power my house with solar, and I don't use any carbon-based fuels with which to power my own home. And so it's not that there's an anti-climate change. We might disagree on what the solutions are for climate change, and we might disagree on what the causes are, but I think it's pretty hard to deny that it's occurring.
Tell us about the Call for American Renewal, which you signed alongside more than 150 other Republicans. Why did you sign it?
I signed it because it's a call for truth-telling. We have to go back to the fact that we're going to start with telling the truth first about the 2020 election. But we're also going to tell the American people the truth about what we believe the national debt is and its harm for the country. We're going to tell the American people the truth about policy. We're going to start talking more about policy solutions. And we've developed kind of a common sense coalition of former elected officials that are asking the Republican Party to reconsider. Trumpism was what they ran on in 2020. They lost on Trumpism. And the reality is they didn't even have a the party itself came with no policies for governing going forward, other than we're going to do what Trump says. And we're saying, no, you know, we actually ought to have policies that we run on. We ought to actually talk to the American people what those policies are and then try to move the country forward. Here's the problem. We don't believe that the Republican Party can win with Trump, but we're also very concerned that the Republican Party cannot win without Trump. And so it's got the party in a really tough spot, and they've got to begin to start looking in a mirror, and we're there to hold up that mirror and say we need to look internally and begin to change the things that have caused them to become a minority party in this country.
We're talking with former Congressman Reid Ribble of Wisconsin, one of the more than 150 signers of A Call for American Renewal. It's a coalition of national, state, and local leaders who want a new political movement, a return to founding principles. Are you a Republican looking for an alternative? Is the creation of a third party the answer, or would it shift power to Democrats? How do you feel about this coalition? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Reid Ribble here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss the future of the Republican Party. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dozens of current and former Republicans have signed on to this letter that's headlined A Call for American Renewal, features 13 principles. While it doesn't mention former President Trump by name, it comes after the ouster of Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney from House leadership. We have former Congressman Reid Ribble of Wisconsin on the line, signed onto the letter and stays with us. Jeff is with us from Superior. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. This is an interesting topic for WPR. I appreciate it. I want to ask the guest, is it true that the Republican Party was founded in Ripon, Wisconsin in, I think it was 1854? And what values or principles from that founding would you take into a new definition of the Republican Party?
Thanks, Jeff, for the question. History would say that the Republican Party was founded in Ripon, Wisconsin, and you know the typical Republican ideology would be one of limited government, constitutional order. You know, taking a more strict liberal approach to understanding the Constitution, reducing the role of the federal government, federalism. Letting the market move within a restrained structure. Those are the types of things that typically would be considered traditional Republicanism, pro-free trade, pro-economic growth. Those are the types of things that the party was founded on. And also a fairly open immigration policy. Republicans were originally the ones that were the abolitionists and those that were trying to support freedom in the country for all Americans.
The letter also explicitly rejects fear-mongering, conspiracism, and falsehoods. Do you see Republicans embracing these tactics?
Well, sure. I mean, that's been part of what the approach for many in the party has been. And the fear-mongering part of it is partly creating victimhood, making Republicans feel like they've been victimized by the elites, which is a very populist thought, while never really defining who the elites are. This language about a deep state, never really defining what a deep state is, but it creates fear in the voter, and it creates a lack of trust in our systems. And quite frankly, our systems actually have been the envy of the world for a very, very long time, and they will work with inside the construct of the U.S. Constitution.
Mark is joining us from New Lisbon. Hi, Mark. What would you like
How
to
are
see?
You?
Hi, good. What are your insights here?
Well, I am really glad that he signed the letter and the other Republicans. I voted for Republicans for over four decades. I wouldn't do it anymore. We need a right of center party, but I would suggest that the people in that organization, when I supported, I signed it, the letter, give the Republican Party a deadline, July 4th, Labor Day, something, and say, you either fix it by then or we're gone. And just go off and take your ball, go home, start a new party, and let's just put the GOP where it seems to want to go, and that's on its deathbed.
So Mark is calling for more urgency here and a firm deadline, Reid Ribble.
Yeah, you know, and listen, Mark, we hear that a lot from voters just like you. And quite frankly, there's millions of them out there. And as we begin to coalesce around some of these principles and we can create what Kate said earlier, a new movement, this movement will either reform the Republican Party or oppose it, depending on how the Republican Party responds to it. They cannot win without us, and which was proven in 2020. And so they've got to begin to listen to us, and this is a way we can either force them to listen to us, or they will simply be relegated to a minority for a very, very long time.
You've said it's going to take a long time, years perhaps, to reshape what a conservative party looks like in our country. And it seems like you have traction now. What will take time exactly?
Well, I mean, listen, if like as Mark says, if it would end up being a new political party, that could take a full decade to create and get it large enough and organized enough. And at that point, because of our federalist system of government, we need to have a footprint in every single state that's powerful enough. We would rather reform what's already there and call back to traditional conservative values, a call back to traditional republicanism, because all the structure is in place. That would be a faster track for sure. But either way, this is going to take some time, and we recognize it.
We have Republican Reid Ribble on the line as we discuss a call for American renewal, a letter published last week. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Lisa is joining us from Madison. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. It sounds like Mr. Ribble is looking at maybe when he talks about focusing on policy, the issues that Trump didn't arise from nowhere, and what has happened in the GOP that gave rise to Trump. And I grew up in Northeast Wisconsin, and over the years, I'm still in touch with many, many people there. I've seen more of a focus on you hate America, you're a socialist, you're this, you're that, versus let's talk about policies, because we can disagree on that, a logical discussion. But when we get into this emotional, I hate, you hate, there's no moving forward. And the other issue that I believe has given rise to Trump is the partisan gerrymandering, where now you're not even, there's no competition with somebody from another party. The competition is within your own party, and that means you have to move further to the either the right or the left, depending on where the gerrymandering is going. And so I think that's really going to be essential going forward, is addressing gerrymandering and how that has given rise to Trump.
Reid Ribble.
I think she's right. It's not just gerrymandering. It's a whole bunch of things. There's a disenfranchisement that Trump was able to tap into, but now what's happened is there's a new disenfranchisement, and people are disenfranchised from a party that even in 2020 ran on no platform. There was no platform. I mean, when does a political party do that, and how can they build a successful party and create something that can actually win without having a platform that the American people know what it is they're going to get if they vote for it? And as far as the gerrymandering goes, we have to somehow get control of this, because voters ought to be choosing who their candidates are and who their elected officials are, rather than elected officials choosing who their voters are. And that's what gerrymandering does. Both parties do it. They're good at it, but it does push to the extremes, and it pushes left and right further away from the governing majority that's somewhere in the middle. So she's correct there.
Along the thoughts of voting, Jim in River Falls. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, yeah, I was just wondering how this new group, what their position is on disenfranchising people from voter rolls. Obviously, the Republican Party emancipated slaves and initially, you know, supported voting rights for black people. Now we just see the opposite, and I think it's a real hazard to our democracy. And just so wondering what position of this new group is on making sure more people get the right to vote.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We believe that voting is a civic responsibility. It goes beyond just it's available to Americans, but we believe you're responsible for it. And we want to make voting as easy as possible in this country. But while making it easy to vote and every single American to vote, and the big advantage of making it easy to vote is that political parties now have to win over those voters when everybody can vote. But we also want to make it difficult to cheat. And so I don't think any voter wants their vote offset by someone who cheated. But yet there's no big history in the country of voter fraud. Is there voter fraud out there? Sure. There'll always be some minor cases of voter fraud, but most of those are captured, and they go through the criminal justice system. And so I don't think it's either or. I think we make it easy for everyone to vote, and we make it difficult for people to cheat, and you encourage every American to cast a vote. And that's where we would be at on that. We think it's a responsibility to vote.
I want to circle back to the letter here for a moment. Did you have any input into these 13 principles or into the letter itself?
I helped write it.
You helped write it. And what were discussions like as you wrote this? Can you take us into that? Yeah.
Yeah. So as we were talking, we started with a relatively small group of 10 or 12 of us, and then this thing just kind of took off, and a lot of former elected officials wanted to be part of it. And so we started creating this list of principles because we felt before we talk about a new party or anything like that, we have to have an understanding of what our underlying, undergirding foundation would be. And that had to be built on principles. And so we began to write this. It then went through a series of reviews. People had the ability to comment, edit, change, and then the group finally agreed on the document that we sent out the other day.
Thank you for joining us.
Kate, good to be with you. Thank you.
Reid Ribble served for 3 terms in the House representing Northeastern Wisconsin. He retired from Congress in 2017, now the CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association. Ahead this hour, we talk with the DMV administrator about why they want to give teen driver's license applicants the option to opt out of the road test. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Even before Wisconsin felt the full effects of the COVID pandemic last year, the state's historians and curators, they were considering how they should document its impact. Then came a summer of historic protests. Megan Hart has more on how future generations will learn about what it was like to live through 2020.
Last June, Hannah Beauchamp-Pope led a Black Lives Matter march through the streets of downtown Green Bay. Almost a year later, she revisited part of the route.
I think we started going up over this bridge here, and it was just like when you fall into like line with everybody and you like turn around and you see like the mass of people behind you, and just the fact that we all moved as one community, it was just kind of, it gives you goosebumps.
Just over that bridge is the Neville Public Museum. While activists like Beauchamp-Pope were aiming to change the world, and scientists and healthcare professionals were working to save lives during the pandemic, curators and historians were acting to preserve our collective memories from a year we'll never forget. Last year, the museum put out a call for artifacts from the marches, and now some items from Beauchamp-Pope are in its archives. The UW-Green Bay student submitted a poster with a Jimi Hendrix quote.
When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace.
The new Nike sneakers Beauchamp-Pope wore to the march are also now part of the Neville's collection. Executive Director Beth Lemke talked about some of the items in the museum's cavernous storage area.
These are all things that are in process. And so in this case, from Hannah, we have her T-shirt, we have a scarf and a bracelet that she wore during that march. We also took in a megaphone that was used to help, talk to the crowd as they were standing there.
Curator Lisa Kane says the Neville's collection should represent the people living in Green Bay today. She pointed out one of the posters.
This one is pretty plain. It's small, but it says Black Lives Matter in Hmong.
Museum officials say they're always contemporary collecting, but Estella Chung, chief curator of the Wisconsin Historical Society, says it's rare for 2 watershed moments to overlap as they did with the pandemic and the protests. She says curators had to be very thoughtful about the moments they want to preserve for future generations.
And to pay attention to all the different stories and voices and perspectives all happening at once. So this was our big challenge during the year 2020.
The pandemic changed daily life for pretty much everyone, and Chung says it's unusual for curators to work with items related to events that impacted their own lives. The society is still adding to its pandemic collection, which already includes makeshift masks and plexiglass dividers. It's also documenting daily life during the pandemic with the COVID-19 Journal Project. Director Christian Overland says thousands of people reached out to say they'll be submitting journals. Some are somber, remembering the traditions we had to abandon during the pandemic, while others cover more quotidian aspects of pandemic life.
There was one great journal that came out of the Eau Claire region that people actually just put every receipt that they had in it for like 9 months. and kind of what they bought and what they ate. Bird watchers keeping journals. We have art journals.
The Society has long used journals to document history. It has one from the Lewis and Clark expedition, some from the very first class of Peace Corps volunteers, and many from the Civil War.
We actually sent out 600 journals with soldiers and pencils with them that were marshaled out of Camp Randall in Madison. And over 400 of those journals came back.
The journal project is ongoing, as of course the pandemic isn't over yet. And back in Green Bay, Beauchamp Pope says her work for social justice has just begun. But there's still value in having her activism documented for future museum goers.
I know that like some little black girl is going to go to that and they're going to see another black woman.
And they'll know they can make history too. Megan Hart, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now to the DMV. About a year ago, in response to the pandemic, the State Transportation Department announced teen drivers would not need to pass a behind-the-wheel test in order to get a driver's license. Now the DMV wants to make such a waiver permanent law. Did COVID upend plans for your teen to get a license? Is your student driver planning to do behind-the-wheel instruction this summer? How do you feel about waiving the road test? What questions do you have about DMV services now? 800-642-1234. Christina Boardman is administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Christina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, a year of this pilot program, you've been collecting data. What have you found?
Yeah, so we started the pilot on May 11th of 2020. And again, this pilot allows 16 and 17-year-olds who have, they've completed their behind the wheel, they've completed driver's ed, they've had their permit for at least 6 months, and they've driven for at least 30 hours with their parent or guardian. If their parent or guardian feels comfortable waiving the road test, we are working with the parent to be able to do that online. And since that time, we've almost had 50,000 waivers from parents. We're finding about 85% of eligible 16 and 17 year olds, their parent is choosing to waive the road test. And of course, we're looking at the safety data as well. We're tracking people that had the waiver versus those that came and chose to take a road test with us. And we are not seeing a difference, really. In fact, we are seeing the convictions and the crashes are slightly higher, the percentage of those drivers for people that took the skills test compared to those that had it waived.
Interesting. So maybe not what you had expected in this pilot program. How and why is the DMV seeking to make this waiver permanent?
Well, we feel that, and we've been looking at this topic for quite some time. We are not the first state to do something like this. The states of Iowa, Nebraska, Virginia, several states do something similar. And it's really just capitalizing on the strength of our driver training in Wisconsin. We know that if you are participating in classroom, you're participating behind the wheel with a trained instructor, and you are purposely and having those 30 plus hours with your parents in a variety of conditions, and you've had at least 6 months of practice, we feel that that says a lot, and that parent is in a great position with all of that time that they've logged in the car to make that decision. And we're finding many parents are comfortable doing so without an impact on safety. The reasons that we don't do it for those that are over the age of 18 is because you only have to have a permit for a week and you are not required to take driver's ed. And we see that really show itself in the pass rates that we've had for our road tests that we administer.
And going back to those 30 plus hours with a parent in the car, you also have an app to track those hours. Is that right?
We do. Yeah. When someone gets their permit, we give a little booklet for that parent, understanding that this is a 6 month process. And we know that they're going to be in that car with kind of walking people through what that process should be like. We want to make sure that they are tracking those hours, that it is at least 30 hours. 10 of those hours should be during darkness. And so, yeah, we try to make it as easy and as fun as possible to be in the car with your student and to make sure that you are completing all of those requirements.
Let's go to Jay, who is a behind the wheel instructor. Jay, what are you seeing?
Well, I agree with a lot of what your guest is saying. I don't necessarily agree that the kids are getting the necessary information through online. A lot of kids are taking online theory courses or their theory portion. And I've seen firsthand they're scrolling through the slides very quickly. And then the other thing I've noticed is a complete unawareness of their surroundings when they're driving. And I blame it on the fact that they're staring at a cell phone when their parents are driving, so they're not really learning, you know, prior to coming to me. I really recommend to all my parents that they do go through the DMV test. I hope that's always going to be an option. But, and then the other thing that I don't necessarily agree with is that parents are a good barometer for where their child is at. I think there's enough of them that are a bit delusional about where their child's ability is. So anyway, that's my observation.
Jay, thanks. Christina, what do you make about those observations?
I appreciate his comments on that. And I think we are both approaching this with a mind on safety. And so I appreciate the unique role that he has and the relationship that he has with those parents. Again, we are taking it seriously, and the road test, it's a choice. The road test remains available. So if you feel that you want a third party to make that decision, you can go ahead and book your road test online without any issues at your closest DMV. We have plenty of availability. So we have, we will continue to always, even if this were to become permanent, we want to be able to continue to provide that service. But again, there always are going to be exceptions, but that's why we're keeping such a close eye on the safety data. And we want to continue to look at that, and we'll report that to the legislature. Yes, we are seeing that all of those things, assuming that that child remains engaged, taking advantage of it, and the parent is accepting liability and making that decision, we are comfortable with that.
Jim in Montello went the waiver option for Jim's daughter. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, my daughter turned 16 last November, hit the time limit after the online classes in December, and so she didn't have to do the road test. But I made sure she drove a ton. The thing that would have helped me is, and maybe there is one online, but I could not find on the Wisconsin DMV site, here's a driver's test, the kind of the checklist to make sure that she kind of hit all the things that they would have done on the road. So that might be something helpful to help parents kind of judge where their kids are. And then lastly, my daughter is actually an advocate for the online or for the actual in-person driver's test. She's more concerned about some of her friends who tell stories about how bad they drive. And she's like, some kids really should have to have somebody else tell them. So that's just kind of a little feedback on it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for sharing your experience. Christina.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate what her daughters went through, and I'm glad that she's having a good experience with it. Again, that the test does remain an option. The other thing I'd like to point out is for these 16 and 17-year-olds, when they do get that probationary license, it is a graduated driver license, so there's additional restrictions on that when they receive that first license in terms of how many people unrelated to them can be in the car, the hours in which they can operate. So again, that provides some additional restrictions to help reduce distractions in the car once one is driving independently.
Is there a checklist, though, for parents so that they could almost, you know, tick off a list of things that their drivers should be proficient in?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot that point. Yes, there is. When you get your permit, I think we give you this booklet, and we also give you a one-page handout that talks about, you know, the process of having a permit, how you need to book that test, and the skills and maneuvers that are going to be included on that skills test. And I think we have it online, but that's a great point. We can certainly make that more prominent for that information online. But yes, there are a number of maneuvers that are included on every road test because we want to provide a consistent exam throughout the state.
We're talking with DMV Administrator Christina Boardman, fielding your questions about teen driving, how services are being handled at this point in the pandemic. Have you been able to do DMV services remotely in the pandemic? Did you put off a trip to the DMV? What do you think of the pilot program to waive the road test for teen drivers? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Christina Boardman here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with DMV Administrator Christina Boardman about services. There are 6.5 million registered vehicles in our state and 4.3 million licensed drivers. That's from the DMV's 2020 facts and figures. The DMV seeks to eliminate the road test for teen drivers. What questions do you have about the probationary driver license, the standard license for all new drivers under 18? What questions do you have about DMV services at this point in the pandemic? 800-642-1234. Christina, what are the benefits from the DMV side of things in making the road test optional?
Well, first, it keeps some people out of the service center. Obviously, we are continuing to enforce social distancing in our offices. When we, in March of 2020, and we stopped doing road tests, we were typically doing about 21 road tests a week. And so we had, number one, a pent-up demand for those road tests, but we're also trying to limit the throughput going through our offices. So our approach as we've gone through this pandemic is, what can we put online and make available electronically without compromising safety? And so the waiver for people under the age of 18 who have passed all tests, if their parent chooses that, is one of those things that we've done. Over the last year, we've done a number of other services online. Our offices have remained open, but we really are trying to provide numerous options for our customers and so that they can feel most comfortable about getting their work done, but not necessarily needing to make an in-person trip.
Thomas from Grant County called in, couldn't stay with us. Thomas says their son is trying to get a motorcycle license, but hasn't been able to schedule a test. And what options do they have there?
Great. Yes, we do motorcycle tests. We do not do them at all locations. And so you are available to book those online. If there's any questions, you can certainly call us and we can talk through that process. I'd like to point out with motorcycles, we have long waived the road test if you go through a motorcycle safety course. And so that model has worked well for motorcycles. And so it's very similar in what we're doing for the driver's license, the regular Class D. If you've had the training, then we're providing that waiver. But for looking for the M test, they are out there. We're trying to get more out all the time. They do require a little bit more because we need to have a car. There's a following. It's a different type of test, but they should be available for scheduling. But again, if there's any concerns, please call and we will walk through that process.
So looking at the CDL tests that are being conducted, these are the tests that over the road other drivers need to take to drive semi-trucks. And in 2019, the DMV tested 107,000 drivers. Last year, you tested only about 56,000. Why was there this drop in CDL tests?
Well, I've actually looked at those CDL numbers, and the number of CDL holders in Wisconsin has gone up from 2019 to 2020. So we had just about 207,000 at the end of 19. We've had 211,000 mm-hmm. at the end of 2020. We do have a third-party testing program in Wisconsin, which has been very successful. Other states have had several backlogs in getting those tests available. But with our third-party network of testers out there, I think there's about 200 throughout the state. People have been able to continue to book those road tests and get those endorsements. It's been a real priority during the pandemic to make sure that we are not doing anything to slow down the process of getting licensed for a CDL and to maintain all those endorsements because we wanted to keep business moving throughout the pandemic.
We're talking with Christina Boardman, the administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles, as we look at services in the pandemic and teen drivers. You can call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Christina, I quoted earlier from your 2020 facts and figures document, that 95-page DMV data from last year. Did anything jump out at you from the numbers and statistics in 2020 for the DMV?
Yes, actually, we are finding that customers are taking advantage of more online services. So our online registration renewal, taking advantage of that online has gone up significantly. Also, people that are titling privately purchased vehicles, we have tried to enhance that system online, and we are finding that customers have also found that application and they're taking advantage of it. So while the pandemic has been horrible in so many ways, we do hope that we have introduced a generation of customers to the many services that we do offer online. So rather than thinking that you need to make that in-person trip, we hope that we've been listening to our customers, what they need, where there's confusion, adjusting as necessary, and making sure that we offer those options and that they can go to wisconsindmv.gov as their first stop for many of the services that we offer.
Where have you found the most confusion in the pandemic? What have you had to sort out?
There has been some confusion on what is being done in person, what can be done online. In Wisconsin, our offices have remained open throughout the pandemic. However, vehicle transactions, we did stop doing those in person because there are options through the mail, online, and through third parties. So that was a way for us basically to take 50% of our customers out of the office and have them do business a different way. So I know that there's been some confusion on what you can and can't do in person, and we've continued to evolve those services that are online. So we get some questions. People are in the middle of a transaction and want to kind of talk through that. We're taking all of those comments seriously. It's been a great opportunity to learn what is tripping up some of our customers so that we can get tutorial videos out there to help. We can clear up the language that's online. So we don't want customers to feel like they have to call us. It should be intuitive and easy to get through on your own.
Have you been able to expedite your services with all of these kind of new online features?
Yes. In addition to the pilot for the road test waiver, we have also at the same time did a pilot for online driver's license renewal. And so we have had more than 100,000 people take advantage of that. And that eliminates a trip for the next 8 years to renew your driver's license, use your existing photo, assuming that there are no other pending medical conditions. But that has been a great program for us. And we really have been tailoring, again, if we have the statutory ability to put it online, how can we quickly work with our IT area to make changes in real time to grow those services. And we have been successful with the two pilots, with doing additional private titling online. We now have a new service. If you didn't pay your the fee that you sent in wasn't quite enough and you owe a little bit more, we now have an online payment portal to speed those transactions up. So, and we've really kind of looked at our services online, in person, how we're taking that mail in, how we're distributing it throughout the state. We've done lots of cross training. And so our service on turning those titles around is really better than it's ever been. And so we're really proud about that.
Christina, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Christina Boardman is administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Stay with us. We talk with the author of the new book, A World Without Email, about electronic communication overload and what we can do about it. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.